Please turn back to 1 Kings chapter 1 this morning. We're going to get through 2 points maybe, so don't worry about those last ones on there. We're not going to go till 1 o'clock to finish it. But we're looking this morning at some really neat things as the book of 1 Kings opens. We had talked about in our introduction to 1 Kings many things. And one of those things that we noted was that worship plays a major theme in the books of the Kings. Worship. And worship plays a major role in our lives today, or should. And worship, by and large today in our own country, is not what it used to be and what it ought to be. And so this is a very, very important theme that we're going to be seeing throughout the books of the Kings. True Christ-honoring worship is in great jeopardy today. It began with the fall of Satan, Lucifer, as he rebelled against God and wanted his spot, wanted his position. He has been at it ever since, trying to destroy true worship. He appeals to the fleshly desires of men, women, and children. And he does that in so many areas of our lives. He is in the business of derailment. Derail the saints of God so that they will not be all that God would have them to be. We see this from sea to shining sea in our own country. However, as we begin our study here in 1 Kings chapter 1, we are confronted immediately with the problem of transition of power. That's how it starts. It starts out really, really sad. And as we go through the books of the Kings, we're going to see many, many sad stories because folks would not obey their God. We want to do that in these days. We want to know the blessing of God. We want to obey Him, learn His Word, memorize His Word, know His Word, that we may be successful in His eyes in a lost and a dying world. Let us pray as we begin this morning. Father, we thank You and give You praise for Your power and Your might and Your tremendous blessing to us in this past week. Truly, You have met with us in a wonderful way. We have seen Your hand of power in our lives. And Father, we pray that that would just only increase now. May it not go down. May it go up and continue to. May our lives be brought more and more and more in conformity with Your will and Your Word. We ask this morning You might speak to our hearts as we begin our study now, literally, of the book of 1 Kings. Show us the lessons that we need to learn here that will profit our lives. Make us better soldiers of the cross. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now that this is the message from God and not from a man, not a preacher. We want to hear from the Word of God and from You. So I trust that You'll do that. I depend upon that. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first point as we begin 1 Kings is this: a dying king. A dying king. Let's go back and read those first four verses once again. Now, David was old. He's around 70 years old, stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, with blankets. But he got no heat. He could not get warm. That's kind of like the way we men are when we get old. I know my wife's grandfather Mosey, in his last years, he would sit in his house, and it was summertime, and he had a flannel shirt on, and he had a jacket on, and he had an overcoat on. He was not getting the heat. And God has a sense of humor, does He not? When we're young, we husbands were just hot, sweaty, and our wives are cold. And then there's somewhere along the line it flips, and the wives are hot, and we're cold. That's what Preacher Mark's always said. God has a sense of humor. Well, David is battling this in his last days of life right now. Verse 2, wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought from my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel. I mean, they were looking for a beautiful lady throughout all the coasts of Israel. And they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and they brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, very beautiful, and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. The saga begins in 1 Kings with the dying king, with the now aged David, very old, and he is cold. And the struggle for his servants is, how do we keep him warm? And the blankets are not working. And so they suggest, well, you know what, let's look for a beautiful young lady in the realm of Israel that we can bring in here and minister to the king and keep him warm, a human warm blanket. So they conduct a beauty contest in the land of Israel, and they find this beautiful young lady, Abishag, and they bring her to King David. Now, we don't know what all the intentions were of the servants in bringing this beauty queen into the king. What we do know is this, that David did not have any intimate relations with Abishag. None at all. He now in his life, as he's around 70 years old, he no longer has the political or the physical strength that he used to have. He is very, very weak, and he is dying. He's on the way out. Some applications, as we look at just this at the beginning, stare us in the face. Number one, we must all face our own physical decline. We must all face our own physical decline. David, in his youth, had killed giants. He had killed wild animals. He has slain how many soldiers of the opposing forces? We do not know. He led armies into battle. Now he is bedridden, frail, powerless, and dying. We are all going to face the same frailty should God's plan be for us to reach old age. It's going to be there for all of us. Ecclesiastes will set in. We took time and tore that book apart, and we found out all the ins and outs of old age are contained in the book of Ecclesiastes and what happens in our lives, and it just really paints a real picture of old age. Like David, we are not going to accomplish everything that we set out to do in our lives. We're just not going to do it. But we also have to realize this. What we can do or hope to do is not our identity. That is not your identity. Remember that your identity is in God, in who He made you to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your gifts and your abilities are God-given abilities. They have been handed to you by Almighty God. You are not your accomplishments. What we have to focus on in our lives and in our living and in our dying is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. For a moment, keep your finger there in 1 Kings and go back to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think about our retired missionary, Pat McConaghee. And I think of her being in her 80s this morning. And I think about the letters that she writes to the saints and to us, and how upbeat she is in her old age, and she's not throwing in the towel, and her relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is fresh and renewed and vibrant, and still out there trying to win Roman Catholic friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the way we are to be all the way until we die. We have to face our frailty, but as we do that, we must press on. We must press on. This is a temporary thing we're in here. This is a pilgrimage. It's not going to last. Eternity is coming. And so let's run across that finish line with all that we possibly can. Don't rejoice in what you have or how you look or what you can do. Rejoice, as it says in Luke 10, verse 20, that your names are written in heaven. There's where we need to rejoice. Wow, when you think about the billions of people whose names are not written in heaven and yours are, wow, we must rejoice. And then secondly, number two application, there is a need for transitional plans. There's a need for transitional plans. Well, we're seeing that happen before our eyes on the national level. We are seeing transitional plans being made right now. King David did not do that. He did not do that. And there were severe consequences, as we're going to see. The Lord Jesus himself, what did he do? He trained his disciples. He trained them. The Apostle Paul trained Timothy, Titus, and multitudes of pastors to go on and to serve the Lord. We don't have any record that David did that. What we know is that David is dying and the kingdom is on very shaky ground. Very shaky ground now. And the text flashes red lights proclaiming that we must prepare the next generation of leaders, fathers, mothers, missionaries, and kingdom soldiers. Point number two this morning is Adonijah tries to appoint himself king. Adonijah tries to appoint himself king, a self-appointed king, verses 5 through 10 of 1 Kings chapter 1. This is the guy you do not want to be. This is the guy you do not want to name your sons. Okay, another one of those. Verse 5, and then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Big mistake. I will be king. You know, somebody said, I will be God. I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He's acting like a king. And he's not the king. And his father had not displeased him, meaning he did not rebuke him, he did not discipline him, he did not say, hey, this is how it is. Did not do it. Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. He was a good looking, he was a handsome man, just like his brother Absalom. Absalom, remember him with his unbiblical, long, flowing hair. that caught him in the tree. And the general put a spear through him. What a way to go. And as you know the history that we're going to be looking at, Adonijah is going to be taken out as well. He was a very handsome man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shammai and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zaheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Adonijah tries to appoint himself king. You know, whenever there is a need for new leadership, things can really get out of hand. And we've seen some of that this past week as well. Adonijah takes advantage of two things. Number one, he's next in line. Those who were in line are dead, and he is next. And the second thing he takes advantage of is his father is weak and dying. He's on his deathbed, powerless. Now's my opportunity. Well, David had been careless in training his sons. He had favored Absalom and then Adonijah. And like Eli, he did not correct his sons. And he pays for it again. He's paid for it before, and now he pays for it again. Adonijah should have been at the castle and caring for his father. That was his job, not to make himself the king. No, he is out to steal the kingdom, and he couldn't even wait for his dad to die. He had to do this now. Do it now. You know, there's an awful lot of sorry stories, and being a pastor, I get to hear a lot of them. When people die and how their loved ones act and what they try to do and what they try to take and how they try to rip off their siblings. It's amazing. I guess it's in our human nature to do that. And that's what Adonijah is doing here. He had the look of a king, but he had some really bad issues in his life. We're going to look at some of those issues. And the first problem that he had, first sin problem he had, is he exalted himself. Adonijah exalted himself. He lifted himself up. He was aggressive. He was arrogant. He was self-possessed. He wants the power. He wants the praise. He wants the pomp and circumstance. He does not obey the Bible. Not at all. The Bible says, humble yourself. He did anything but that. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. The Bible says, put others ahead of yourself. Take another moment and go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I was going to read a couple verses and expand it. I'm just going to read 1 through 11, just all of it. 1 through 11, Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who exalts you? God does. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God will lift you up. Adonijah had a yearbook theology. A yearbook theology. Big problem. When you get your senior yearbook, what's the first thing you did? You looked for your picture. My picture. Never mind, we already had this taken months ago. It's already been printed. It's already hanging on mom and dad's wall or sitting on the table. But then the yearbook comes out, but where do we go? Our picture first. This is Adonijah. Me first. Then what do we do after we find our senior picture? Well, then, okay, I had my picture taken. Now I'm going to talk about me here. I had my picture taken with a pep band, so I went to find that picture. I was on the track team. Well, I went to find that picture. Well, I was in the band. I went to find that picture. Well, I was in the choir. I went to find that. You look for your own pictures. And then maybe by chance, now we'll go through the whole thing, and maybe there's more that I didn't know about. So, it's all about me. You know, what we need is a Jesus-centered theology. That's what we need, a Jesus-centered theology, not a yearbook theology. Adonijah was me first, like the pop culture of our day. We need a better model, and our model is the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about in Philippians chapter 2. That's the model. That's the one to follow. That's how to follow our model, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation. He becomes a servant. All of his life, that's what he did. And then what happened? God exalted Jesus. Be like Jesus. Serve, obey the Lord, follow him. God will lift you up. Two, Adonijah sought his own pleasure. He was the handsome, self-centered, spoiled brat. You know what that is? That's a recipe for disaster. A recipe for disaster. You know, being really handsome or a lady being really good-looking can be a curse. You know, I go through my yearbook and I look at all those young ladies that I thought, you know, they were the cat's meow. Man, they were beautiful. Guess what? I'm glad I didn't marry any of them. Not one. Mm-mm. God knows what he's doing. You follow him, you follow his plan, you follow his will. Very apparently, David did not discipline Adonijah like he didn't the rest. No correction, no rebuke. He did not use the purpose-driven paddle, which is supposed to be used in the home for discipline. This is a warning to fathers. Our Father in heaven disciplines us. You better follow his example, such as Proverbs 3:11-12 and Hebrews 12:7. Number three, Adonijah sought the wrong counsel. He went to all the wrong people. Well, when you're sinning, you're going to do that, are you not? You're not going to go to the wise people. You're not going to go to those who are going to give you real counsel, godly counsel. You're going to go to those who are going to tell you what you want to hear. And so he gathered to himself. He goes to Joab, the great old general. We're talking about transition of power. We have an aged, dying, cold king. We have a general who has fought many battles for David, but he has blood on his hands. Not cut the right kind, but the wrong kind. And then he gathers to himself Abiathar the priest, the wrong priest. He should have gone to Zadok the priest, to Benaiah, the head of David's elite fighting forces, and Nathan the right prophet. But all the right people, he didn't go to them. Wrong counsel, wrong people. Ask yourself in your own life, who do you go to for counsel when you need it? Are you an Adonijah? Do you go to people who are going to just repeat to you what you're hoping to hear? Or are you going to go to someone who is godly, who knows their Bible, and who's going to tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not? Very important truth in our lives. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs talks about the simple, the scorner, the fool, and the wise. Talks about all these people. Do not go to scorners, simpletons, and fools for your advice. Adonijah gathered to himself people who would support him, people he knew that would get behind him. Not the right people, but anybody who I can get to get on my bandwagon to help me to become king. We become like him when we do not seek counsel from the Word of God and from godly people. The Bible is our authority for decision making. Number four, Adonijah opposed God's king. Adonijah opposed God's king. Adonijah is a snake or a serpent. He represents the evil one. As we read in our text in verse number 9, the word zokaleth in verse 9 means slithering, a slithering serpent. Solomon is going to put Adonijah to death for his snake character. He's going to be put to death. He will reap what he has sown. We must learn from Adonijah. We need to submit to God and his word and his will and go to godly people for help. Our task in this life comes from a beautiful statement in the Catechism: glorify God and enjoy him forever. In 3 John, we learn about a man named Diotrephes. He's like Adonijah. He's out for himself, and he despises the apostles, doesn't want them to come and visit the church. Adonijah does not listen to or represent godly leaders. God has provided them, and he bypasses them. Does not want their godly counsel. Biblical leaders are called by God, and they have godly character. Now, there's something about Adonijah that I want us to see this morning as we're winding down here. Adonijah had some really good qualities in his life. He had some really good God-given talents. He had gifts. He chose to use them in the wrong way. He chose to go the wrong way. We want to make sure we don't do that. Gifted, handsome, he could lead, but he did it all wrong. Leadership is not about giftedness as much as it is about Christ-likeness. Very important. At the very beginning we said, don't be majoring on what gifts that God has given you. He gave you those. Major on Christ-likeness, and he will lift you up and he will use the gifts that he's given you. It's all about following the plan of God. Our stock must be placed in godly character, not in abilities and external appearances. You can go to your Bible and read the qualifications for pastors and elders in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and you'll see the godly character that God is looking for in those that he wants to raise up to use as leadership. Adonijah, what a shame. What a shame we have a man with all these gifts and talents, sharp guy, but he used them all wrong. We have two choices in our life. We can follow God's way or we can follow our way. I hope you will choose the right way. It is God's way. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for this powerful beginning of 1 Kings. Lots of drama as we get started. Lots of things going on. Lots of tremendous biblical lessons, truths that we can learn, that we might follow you, go your way, do it your way. May we do that. Father, again, we ask this morning, all those wonderful decisions that were made this week, please, 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 help us to keep them. May they grow in our lives. May they become what we are, as we seek to be like our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.